Daniel, the 7th chapter, beginning at the first verse. Daniel, the 7th chapter. Daniel 7:1. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head upon his bed. Then he wrote the dream and told the sum of the matters. Daniel spake and said, I saw in my visions by night, and behold, the four winds of the heaven strove upon the great sea, and four great beasts came up from the sea, diverse one from another. The first was like a lion, and had eagle's wings. I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked, and it was lifted up from the earth, and made stand upon the feet as a man, and a man's heart was given to it. And behold, another beast, a second, like to a bear, and it raised up itself on one side, and it had three ribs in the mouth of it, between the teeth of it. And they said thus unto it, Arise, devour much flesh. After this I beheld, and lo, another, like a leopard, which had upon the back of it four wings of a fowl. The beast had also four heads, and dominion was given to it. After this I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, and strong exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth. It devoured and brake in pieces, and stamped the residue with the feet of it. It was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. And I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were 3 of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of man, and a mouth speaking great things. I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like the pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. 1,000,000s ministered to him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set, and the books were opened. I beheld then, because of the voice of the great words which the horn spake, I beheld even till the beast was slain, and his body destroyed, and given to the burning flame. As concerning the rest of the beasts, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and time. I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven, and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. That's Daniel 7:1-14. Let's bow in a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, as we are gathered here today, we ask for your presence and your blessing as we open your word. We know we are not prophets, but we wish to learn and to see things that are may shortly come to pass, things that indicate the nearness of your great kingdom, which you will establish upon this earth. We're mindful of those among us who are ill and afflicted. We do pray that your special healing hand might be upon them to strengthen and bless. Give freedom from pain, peace, and compliance with your will. Guide and direct us during this service, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I must admit that when I was a kid and younger in the faith, to read about beasts and all these things has just well been in some foreign language. We may not know all about it, but we do at least need to know what is here. That's what I tell people about prophecy, is you need to know what it says, because when something comes along, you say, oh, that sounds like Daniel 7, or something of that sort. But the thing that we need to realize that in approaching this study is that the use of beasts in the prophecy, though it seems strange to us, was just a matter of familiarity to the people of the Bible. Remember, Abraham was born and raised at Ur in Babylon. Babylonians had beasts of all varieties in their big carvings and statues. Moses was born and raised in Egypt, where they have sphinx and statues and animals, eagle-headed men, and all different types of animals. Daniel in Israel itself was in both Egypt and Babylon, so they were familiar with these statues. And here we have Daniel himself in Babylon, where they had all of these different beasts. So the presence of these beast gods of Babylonia and Assyria to them was an everyday thing. I love archaeology of Bible lands, and one of the outstanding features of Babylon was called the Ishtar Gate. Ishtar was a god. And all over in this huge wall, in wonderful, colorful ceramic tiles, are all different kinds of animals, bulls and dragons. And in fact, when you get talking about these dragons, they were composite animals that even had a scorpion tail. And for instance, if you look in any book on archaeology, you'll find the wonderful winged bulls of Assyria. And so as a result, these are not strange to Bible people, because they lived in lands where they saw these every day, on the street, in their houses, on buildings, everywhere. They saw these wild beasts. These are used in different places. Hosea, the 13th chapter, the 6th through 8th verses, talks about the same animals. And in Revelation 13, you're getting a kind of a summary of the 7th chapter, when in the first two verses it says, I stood upon the sand of the sea. Remember, here's where the beast came out of the sea. I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns. Upon his horns, 10 crowns. Upon his heads, the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like a leopard, and his feet were like a bear, his mouth the mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave him his power, his seat, and great authority. So here you have, in the 13th of Revelation, all of the beasts of Daniel 7 being represented in one. So they are not what we're seeing in the beasts of Daniel 7, especially in the number of them, is that they are used to teach the same thing as the image of Nebuchadnezzar in Daniel 2, where he had the head of gold, breast and arms of silver, belly and thighs of brass, the legs of iron, and the feet of iron and clay. Again, the number 10, used of the 10 toes and the feet, and so on. So there, this is the same message. In fact, in the 8th chapter of the book of Daniel, which you already mentioned in reference to the image, you have the ram and the he-goat, and they're the same nations. The thing that we found when we were studying Daniel 2 and the image of Nebuchadnezzar is that these nations are not necessarily the greatest nations in existence. For instance, Egypt is not mentioned. The reason why these nations are being mentioned as these beasts and being counted is that they held the dominion. Remember, that's the key that we gave you from the very beginning, that these nations all were in that land that was promised to Abraham and his descendants, the Fertile Crescent, Eden, the Garden of God, from the Nile to the Euphrates. This is the land. In fact, you'll find in prophecy, whenever it talks about eastward, westward, northward, and southward, it is always talking in relationship to the Holy Land and the Holy City. So the thing that we see in regard to these nations that are represented by these beasts, just like we saw in the image of Nebuchadnezzar, that these nations are in the dominion anciently as well as presently. And they're the subjects of prophecy. It's not Europe. It's not Rome. It's not the Roman Catholic Church. It's not the Pope. It's not America. This was a much smaller world. And so as a result, the nations that we see represented by these animals or beasts are in that particular area of the Middle East. So as we went on down through here, it named these, listed these beasts, and really the beasts themselves, really, it does not really matter which they are. In other words, the lion is not being used of England, and the bear not being used of Russia or anything of this sort. The animals that are being used, really do not, they do not make any difference. But it does list them and tell about them. The quality was expressed in the image, starting with the head of gold, which was the greatest, and went all down. But the nature of these beasts is given, of these nations is given in the beasts in Daniel 7. In fact, I, a long time ago, decided that when it talks about the beast here, this could not be mean and nasty and horrible. Nobody would worship the beast. Nobody would follow this beastly kingdom if it was that way. As far as I'm concerned, it is represents culture, peace and security, and all. In fact, when you get down here in this eighth verse, it said that talked about little horn. Here it said that he had eyes like the eyes of man. In digging into this, it finds out, you find out that he had interest in man, that the things that the beast stands forth would stand for would make people think that it was good, and that it was a benefit for us to be under it. But this is a succession of governments, beginning at Babylon and ending when the kingdom of God comes. It goes through Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, and finally, the fourth beast is that of Islam. It takes us up to Muhammad and the Muslim Empire that was in existence over 1,000 years and is emerging as a great power. I'm the oldest person in this room. I probably may not see all the things that are related to this particular beastly power, but at least the younger members in our church family here will live to see the reign of radical Islam. In fact, when I was going through this particular section and rereading Daniel 7, it just all I saw in here was radical Islam. In fact, I'll bring this out a little later. But the thing that you see in this, in these beasts, there was just it just is continuous, and goes from the first king to the last king, until God rules. There's no millennium in the seventh chapter of Daniel. So what you see is this: these empires that succeeded one another. They were universal in their nature. They covered the great area of Nile to Euphrates, which put them in position to be counted in this particular sequence of the beast, just like the image. Rome doesn't fit, as I said. Russia doesn't fit. America doesn't fit nowhere in the image. So, one of the things that I thought was extremely interesting, and I bless Brother McLean for telling us about Charles Martel. When the Muslim hordes were taking the Near East and went on into Europe, Charles Martel was a Frankish king. That's not French, but German. Anyway, he, at the Battle of Tours, he defeated the Arab armies and turned back the Muslim hordes. Otherwise, all of us would be speaking Arabic and would all be Muslims, because Europe would have been Muslim. After they were defeated at the Battle of Tours, the different caliphs or leaders of the Arab empires all split up and fought each other. In fact, that's the thing that we see that's represented in the feet and toes of the image. It says they were clay and iron. It says they don't mix. They don't cling. And so as a result, what we have, the trouble we have right in Iraq today is not so much the Iraqis against the U.S., but it's Iraqis against Iraqis. The Sunnis against the Shiites. And this is a long-standing feud that's gone on for since the 700s, or nearly 1,300 years. These same people have been fighting each other. And in fact, Ezra, in the book of Esdras, says that the Arabs will leave fighting only to fight Israel. In other words, that's the reason why Israel, through the years, has been able to win her battles that she's been in, because the Arabs are just not unified. Even though they have followers of Muhammad, they don't like each other, and as a result, they just don't get together long enough to go against Israel. When I was talking here about the numbers of people, I don't know whether you got that idea, but 1,000 is 1,000,000, and 10,000 times 10,000 is 100,000,000. That's a lot of people. They say that there are 200 million Arabs alone, but then when you count the people that embrace Islam, it gets up over 1,000,000,000 people. In fact, I would say that any day of the week when you hear about a bombing any place in the world, it will be Muslim. They are, I believe, the great enemy of all mankind. In fact, one that perhaps which we will all have to deal in one way or the other. But they have only one purpose, and that is to defeat Israel. I read the 83rd Psalm to you many times. It lists 10 different entities, kingdoms, and groups. And what do they say? They became confederate. In other words, they joined together and said, "Let us cut them off, Israel off, that they may no more be a nation on this earth." But the only thing that you see in the way of hope there is someday God will go against them. There's one thing for certain. As far as the followers of Islam, the Jews and Christians, including us, stand in the same position. If we don't acknowledge Allah, don't confess that Muhammad is his prophet, we are all foreigners. We are fit to be killed if we don't yield. And they, to them, it's just okay to kill us, because it doesn't make any difference, men, women, or children. We are all heathen and therefore fit to be killed. So when you go in this seventh chapter of Daniel, after you get past 14, where it has Jesus taking over the throne, it talks about these beasts that arise on the earth, and it goes on and talks about them. And it says that they're diverse. That is different. They shall devour the earth, tread it down, and break it to pieces. The 10 horns are 10 kings that shall arise. Another shall arise after them. And he said he shall speak great words against the Most High. Well, the Most High is Yahweh God. And shall wear out the saints of the Most High, or afflict them. This, in other words, against Jews and Christians, and think to change times and laws. Every time you read about it, you find out the trouble in Egypt, the trouble in Iraq and Iran, and other places is radical Islam, who want a true Islamic state. They will make laws of any kind. The women have to dress from head to foot so that you cannot see them. Women cannot be educated. Women cannot work out of the home. They make the laws. They change the times to suit them. And it says that the saints of the Most High shall be given into his hand until a time and times and a dividing of times. In other words, 3.5 years. But judgment will sit and it will finally be destroyed. So this great empire. And God is the only one that can do it. In fact, when anybody ever talks to me about, preacher, what is the hope of the world with all this going on with and in Iraq and Iran and all these places where all this trouble is, I said, well, God is the only one that can solve it. I used to jokingly say that they ought to turn Iraq back over to Saddam Hussein, but they hung him instead, so he was the only one that I ever knew that could keep that bunch under control. And so anyway, he was a terrible man. I think our country was right in the beginning to go in there. But I must admit, I'm like others, that I wish there was a nice way to get out, because I just hate to see our boys being killed. One of the main elements of this 7th chapter of Daniel is the mention of the Ancient of Days. This is God. Who is more ancient of days than God? And so it's talking about him. He said, I beheld till thrones were cast down. If you read this carefully and read other versions, you find out, I beheld till thrones were placed. What this is a reference to the Middle East, where the people lived in tents. What did they sit on? They sat on pillows. So they would come in, and they would place pillows. They cast them on the floor. And the judges would sit. The elders would sit. So here you have God, you might say, coming to sit in a tent. And they cast a pillow down, and God sits on it. He's the Ancient of Days. And it says that his garment is white as snow, his hair of his head like pure wool. And his throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels was burning fire. Fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousand thousands ministered to him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him, and judgment was set, and the books were opened. He goes on and talks how he judges the beast, but the thing that we see here is that in this 13th verse, I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven, came to the Ancient of Days, to God, and they brought him near before him, and there was given him, that is the Son of Man, dominion and glory and a kingdom that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. This is equal to Daniel 2:44, in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And so here you have, after all the history of these beastly kingdoms that rule the world and caused the world to worship and to fall down before them, here we have God judging them and giving the dominion and the kingdom to Jesus so that he will rule. And his kingdom will never pass away, and his kingdom will never be destroyed. And over in the chapter, in the 27th verse, the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High. In other words, not in heaven, but on earth. In other words, according to this Ancient of Days coming and sitting, this is on the earth. And Jesus is brought before him, and he puts the Son of Man on the throne, and he never gives it up. And he takes charge and fights and defeats the enemies of Israel and the enemies of God. But then it says, the kingdom and the dominion, the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. All dominions shall serve and obey him. So you see that the future of all this is the establishment of the kingdom of God. That's what we look forward to. The days of the kings represented by the toes. The days of the king of these ten horn kingdoms and the and the little horn that stands up, which many people consider Antichrist, when this is destroyed and this dominion is taken away from them and given to the people of the saints of the Most High, this is a great time. But according to Zechariah 14, this is not going to be any picnic, because nations are gathered against Jerusalem, and the city will be taken, the houses rifled, and the women ravished. It's going to be a terrible time. And only God is the only one who can solve it, can bring this worldly dominion to an end, to deliver the dominion to his son, who will be a righteous king, bringing peace and true prosperity to the world. The whole dominion will be God's and his people's. So this is a thing that if we can't wade through these different beasts, at least get to the bottom line, the kingdom of God on earth, when he is ruling and puts Jesus on the throne, and the kingdom and the dominion are given to the people of the saints of the Most High, and we will reign on the earth. This is a thing that we need to look forward to. I tell people we don't dare be weary in watching. Keep our eyes on the Middle East. Keep our eyes on Israel. This is the whole arena of the world's history is taking place there. And I believe that we are very close to the peace and security cry when Israel will think she has things worked out. But we know that the divided Arab entities will get together, as Revelation 17 says, one hour, and they will defeat Israel, but God will go forth and fight. And all the signs that we see are pointing to this. And we know that God is in control, and his kingdom will be established on this earth. I say, let's not worry about position in the kingdom of God. Let's think about, will we be in it? And that's the thing that we need to think about day by day, is to live our lives so that we'll be pleasing to God, so that he will know us in that day when he makes up his jewels. God bless us through his word.